Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, March 27th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
The Fed preaches patience as traders see rate cuts coming this year.
Patience is the way to go because you don't want to guess.
Plus, Mario Draghi warns about risk in Europe.
The risks to the outlook remain tilted to the downside.
And Boeing 737 MAX jet faces fresh concerns.
Attorney General William Barr is set to release his report on Special Counsel Mueller's probe in weeks, not months. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A deal was struck just as the season's about to begin. The Mets and Jacob DeGrom, 5 years, $137.5 million. The Islanders were shut out in Columbus.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And global stocks are struggling for direction this morning, 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 2.5 points. Dow futures are up 5. NASDAQ futures up 12.5. The DAX in Germany's down 0.1%. CAC in Paris down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 2.38%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.21%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.33% or 22 cents to $59.71 a barrel. And COMEX gold little changed at $13.21.90 an ounce. The euro is trading at 1.1275 per dollar. And this data check brought to you by Poly. Plantronics and Polycom are now Poly, the global communications company that powers authentic human connection and collaboration. Poly, the power of many. Nathan.
Karen, traders are now pricing in a rate cut from the Federal Reserve this year after recent data showing weakness from housing to retail and consumer sentiment. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly's the latest to weigh in on the uncertainty.
Patience is the way to go because you don't want to guess that we need to do more or guess that we need to do less. You just want to be patient and look at the data and see how it emerges.
And we're also hearing from Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren.
We've had a lull in the economy in the United States, but we're not expecting it to persist. But that's our baseline forecast, and the risk is that both slowing in China and slowing in Europe and a relatively weak Japan all imply that some of the global risks are a little heightened relative to what they are at other times.
Meanwhile, President Trump's latest nominee for the Fed wants the central bank to cut rates now. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nate. Stephen Mora tells the New York Times the Fed should immediately reverse course and lower interest rates by 0.5 percentage point. He also says he wouldn't be a sycophant for President Trump if nominated and confirmed, and that he regrets previous remarks calling for Fed Chairman Jerome Powell to resign. Moore is a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation and a longtime supporter of the president. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Mario Draghi is weighing in on the euro area slowdown. The European Central Bank president spoke moments ago at a conference in Frankfurt.
The risks to the outlook remain tilted to the downside. The monetary policy measures we took at the last Governing Council meeting reflect this assessment.
President Draghi says low inflation continues to warrant monetary policy that includes negative interest rates.
The U.S. and China resume high-level trade talks in Beijing tomorrow. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says he wants a deal but is not necessarily hopeful one will happen. Myron Brilliant is head of international affairs at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
The right energy tone is being set by the two governments. Now it's about getting it done, and there are still outstanding issues, but I think they're getting closer, and I think the next 2 weeks are going to be critical.
Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin visit Beijing tomorrow, while Chinese Vice Premier Liu He heads to Washington next week.
Turning to corporate news now, Boeing is facing fresh challenges after China suspended a certificate of airworthiness for the 737 MAX jet. Bloomberg's Richard McCauley has details.
Boeing's own fix for the issue is not going to be enough to get it back in the air in China. Instead, Beijing authorities are going to have to review the changes that Boeing implements, and only after they're satisfied with those kind of reviews, then we can perhaps see 737 MAX back in China's skies once again.
Meanwhile, here in the U.S., a Southwest 737 MAX was forced to make an emergency landing due to engine trouble, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
A Southwest spokeswoman said the fault, quote, had absolutely no relation to the flight control issue that prompted American regulators to ground all 737 MAX aircraft. The FAA said the crew of Southwest Flight 8701 declared an emergency and landed safely in Orlando. The FAA says it is investigating the incident. The MAX aircraft was being flown to storage in Victorville, California, and only the pilots were on board. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. On Capitol Hill today, Boeing 737 MAX jet receives more scrutiny as the Senate holds a hearing on government oversight of airline safety. Elisa Parenti has details from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The heads of the National Transportation Safety Board and Federal Aviation Administration will testify at the hearing, which comes 2 weeks after the FAA grounded Boeing's MAX jets. A criminal investigation by the Justice Department is already underway, and the Transportation Department is conducting an audit of the FAA's 737 MAX approval process. In Washington, I'm Elisa Parenti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Elisa, thank you. Apple is in a legal fight with Qualcomm on several fronts, and we have new details on two cases. First, Apple won a patent battle over battery-saving technology. That issue is now settled. But in the other case, a judge is siding with Qualcomm. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman has more.
The impact here would be specifically likely on the iPhone 7 and iPhone 7 Plus, which are due to be discontinued probably this year or next anyways. But it still would have a multi-billion dollar impact on Apple if they had to stop selling the 7 and 7 Plus in the U.S.
Right now, shares of Apple are up nearly 1% in early trading. Qualcomm shares are down 0.5%.
Renault is aiming to restart merger talks with Nissan Motor. That's according to the Financial Times, which says Renault wants to create a bigger auto conglomerate that would then bid for Fiat Chrysler. That has Fiat Chrysler shares up 3% in early trading.
And Bloomberg News has learned Centene is discussing a potential takeover of WellCare Health Plans. The companies have similar businesses, with WellCare providing managed care for Medicaid, Medicare, and ACA plans. Shares of WellCare rose 12% in late trading. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 5:07 now on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A Justice Department official says it will take Attorney General William Barr weeks, not months, to finish reviewing Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report and make a version available for the public. The official who spoke on the condition of anonymity also said there were no plans for the department to give the report to the White House. Meanwhile, both Democrats and Republicans are calling for Barr to come to Congress. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Both sides, but for different reasons. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal.
I want to see the Mueller report, not the Barr summary, for all of the evidence and see how close it came to proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
And Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
I want to make sure that information that should be protected for the good of the country is protected. I want as much information to the public as reasonably possible, as soon as possible, and I want Barr to come forward and to answer questions.
Both sides are saying they don't want to make this political. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Britain's members of Parliament vote today on alternatives to Prime Minister Theresa May's defeated Brexit deal. Parliament preparing to vote on rival plans that could soften Britain's departure from the European Union or cancel it altogether. Brexit backers in May's Conservative Party signaled that they could shift and back her deal, but several said the Prime Minister would have to go. An unofficial ceasefire appears to be holding between Israel and Gaza's Hamas rulers, despite limited exchanges of fire. Schools reopened in southern Israel today after late-night rocket attacks from Gaza set off air raid sirens. All charges against actor Jussie Smollett, who'd been accused of staging a hate crime against himself in Chicago, were dropped. His attorneys hailed it as vindication, but angered top city officials who still are calling it a hoax. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel called the surprise decision a whitewash of justice.
Mr. Smollett is still saying that he is innocent, still running down the Chicago Police Department. How dare him? How dare him?
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashon.
Nathan, the Mets will open the season tomorrow afternoon in Washington, so Jacob deGrom will get right to work and try to start earning the $137.5 million the Mets will pay him over the next 5 years. The two sides beat the deadline that deGrom had imposed, new deal before opening day, or no talks for the next 6 months. The Mets' new general manager, Brody Van Wagenaar.
I didn't feel that pressure. You know, I think I said when I first started, and I said last summer, I felt like this franchise needed to sign Jacob deGrom to a long-term extension. He made it clear to us that he wanted to be a part of this franchise. So when people have mutual interest, hopefully you can see it to the finish line and everybody can celebrate.
Worth noting, Van Wagenaar, his previous job was deGrom's agent. The contract starts now, runs through 2023. There's a full no-trade clause. deGrom can opt out after 22. The Mets can pick up a sixth-year option for 2024. It makes DeGrom's friend and teammate Noah Syndergaard happy. He had openly questioned why the two sides had not come to terms, and Syndergaard in good spirits yesterday during the workout in Syracuse, even though he had complained about having to make the trip. Yankees open up tomorrow hosting the Orioles. The Islanders last night in Columbus got shut out 4-0. They've been shut out three of the last five games. They're now three games behind Washington in the division, tied for second with Pittsburgh, expected to play the Penguins in the first round of the playoffs, so they're battling for home ice. What happened to the Saints in the NFC Championship game won't happen again. The NFL voted 31-1, the Bengals the only team against, to start using replay for pass interference on pass interference plays that were called and were not called, but should have been. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And an Ohio man is perfect in his March Madness bracket so far. The NCAA says Greg Nigel of Columbus has correctly picked each game in the first two rounds of the tournament. League says the odds of a perfect bracket all the way through to the championship game are 1 in 9.2 quintillion. S&P futures 3.5 points higher. Dow futures ahead by 14 points. NASDAQ futures up 16 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are struggling for direction this morning. U.S. futures are higher after equities in Asia posted modest losses. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The topics closed lower by 0.5% or 8 index points to 1,609 points as 1,500 companies traded without rights to their dividend. That removes more than 17 points from the index, so traders expect a rebound tomorrow pending any major shockwaves. Chinese stocks rallied despite dismal data, industrial profits posting their worst start to a year since the global financial crisis. That weak data, though, spurred hopes of further stimulus, sending the CSI 300 up over 1%. And the biggest market mover of the day in Asia was the Kiwi, tumbling the most in 7 weeks to 68 cents against the dollar, as the RBNZ became the latest central bank to turn dovish. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures up 14, NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury up 10 32nds, yield 2.38%, and the yield on the 2-year, 2.21%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. A Justice Department official says Attorney General William Barr is planning to release his report on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe into President Trump in weeks, not months. The official says there were no plans at this time to share the Mueller report with the White House. British Prime Minister Theresa May saw signs that her beleaguered Brexit deal might be winning support, but she would have to go. Parliament is preparing to vote on plans that could soften Britain's departure from the European Union or cancel it altogether. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. The Capitals were winners. In the NBA, the Celtics won. The Wizards lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest this morning, Dennis Gartman, the publisher of the Gartman Letter. Nice, as always, to talk with you, Dennis. And even as we're seeing a bit of a lift to futures contracts this morning. The rally in treasuries continues. What are you advising your subscribers as we kind of look for some direction in the market this morning?
Nathan, I'm telling them be very, very careful about being long of equities at this point. I think that we actually entered a global bear market last January. It's hard for many people to understand that, but the global Dow, as I like to follow, made its high last January 25th, and an index that I keep, a very simple one, my international index, made its high last January 29th. We've actually been in a global bear market for over a year, and I'm very worried about where the U.S. economy is at this point and very concerned about where the U.S. stock market is. So I'm telling people the best place to be is in the bond market. The worst place to be, or the least place to be, is in the equities market, and I hope that I'm clear.
Yeah, and I guess we're starting to see some of that concern play out in the markets with the inversion of the 3-month 10-year yield yes. curve. Are you reading that as a sign of recession on the way as well?
Historically, yield curve inversions have always led. I shouldn't say always. There have been one or two times in the last 50 years when we've seen an inversion that didn't follow up with a recession within a year and a half or two. But I'm quite afraid that the inversion that we are seeing is going to get worse, that we're likely to invert across the entire term structure of the yield curve, and that within probably sometime this year, we'll actually find out that we have entered a quiet, not a laborious, not a difficult recession such as we went through in 07 to 09, but nonetheless a period of declining GDP growth and perhaps even, which will sound unusual, rising inflation at the same time. So one should be concerned.
Do you see gold as a hedge against inflation? Any reason to hold that commodity?
Yeah, I think I'm bullish of gold, but not in U.S. dollar terms, because I'm actually quite bullish of the U.S. dollar. I've been bullish of gold, however, in euro terms, which is a little difficult for most people to understand. But given the fact that the United States Federal Reserve Bank has moved from being contractionary to at least being modest or even somewhat expansionary, that has given cover for the ECB to be continued expansionary in its policies. I think that leads to a weakening euro. I think that leads to higher inflation, and therefore I think that owning gold in euro terms is the trade of the year.
Now we are seeing the euro trading at 112.75 against the dollar. Do you see it at a resistance level at this point, or does the euro have further to fall?
I think the euro has further to fall. I think we're going to see 108 before the not-too-distant future. And I think it's simply because the ECB will remain expansionary as far as its monetary policies are concerned. And as I said, the Fed's pivot, as everybody is now using the term, has given the ECB cover to become more expansionary. So I do think the economy in Europe is weaker than is ours. The monetary authorities are more expansionary than are ours. And that will give rise to a weaker euro, as I said, probably at least to 108 and maybe even lower than that.
Are you thinking the Fed, like many traders seem to be indicating now, is going to indeed lower rates this year?
I think the Fed probably wants to stay as steady as possible. I doubt that they want to raise. Certainly, they're not. They have no intention of raising rates. Whether they have an intention of erring on the side of the easing rates, I think, is up for debate. I doubt that they shall. I think we'll probably end up the year with the overnight Fed funds rate exactly where we are right now.
Of course, we've heard from Stephen Moore, who may be the president's latest pick to serve on the Fed board. He's calling for a 50 basis point cut right away or as soon as possible. I mean, what impact do you see that having were that to play out?
I think he'll be a lonely voice on the Fed. I think he'll be a dissenter if his nomination actually goes through the Senate, and it probably should. And we probably need a voice of that sort of very overt free market, easier monetary policy positions. So I think that he'll be a lonely voice of dissent. He'll vote in favor of lowering rates. His voice will be listened to, but it won't be followed.
You don't see it as a voice that would have too much sway then on the Federal Reserve?
Not given the fact that there are a number of governors and Federal Reserve regional bank presidents will be voting in opposition to him. So a voice of dissent is needed. He will be a lonely voice of dissent. I wish him well.
Dennis Gartman, publisher of the Gartman Letter. Always good to get your insights on Bloomberg Daybreak. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning, where, as we say, markets kind of looking for some direction this morning, though futures contracts are pointed somewhat higher at the moment. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures ahead by 22, NASDAQ futures up almost 18 points. Treasuries rising as well. The price of the 10-year up 10, 30 seconds. The yield down to 2.38%. Two-year treasuries at 2.21%. This is Bloomberg. And it's 525 on Wall Street. You are listening to Bloomberg Radio, streaming live 24 hours a day on the Bloomberg Business app, radio.com, the iHeartRadio app, and Bloomberg.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Flexport. Flexport's operating system for global trade delivers visibility and control for predictable supply chain costs and reliable transit times, all from a powerful technology platform. Learn more at flexport.com/OS.
And we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher following yesterday's 0.7% gain for the S&P 500. Treasuries are rising with the yield on the 10-year under 2.4%.
President Trump's nominee to the Federal Reserve is calling for a cut in interest rates immediately. We get the story live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Stephen Moore, a longtime supporter of President Trump, who has previously called for the resignation of Fed Chair Jerome Powell, tells the New York Times the central bank should immediately reverse course and lower interest rates by 0.5 percentage point. Placing him on the board may be the president's attempt to check Powell and head off further tightening of U.S. monetary policy. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. New Zealand's dollar is down more than 1% this morning. That's after the central bank said the next move for its key interest rate is likely to be a cut.
ECB President Mario Draghi says risks to the euro area economy remain tilted to the downside.
The weakness in world trade has continued, which has significantly affected the manufacturing sector. Global goods import growth in January reached its lowest level since the Great Recession.
President Draghi says low inflation continues to warrant monetary policy that includes negative interest rates.
Here in the U.S., a Senate subcommittee hears from top air safety regulators and investigators today as lawmakers look into the grounding of Boeing 737 MAX jet. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The acting head of the Federal Aviation Administration plans to tell the panel U.S. aviation regulators were directly involved in the review and approval of the anti-stall system of the 737 MAX aircraft, and the FAA has already reviewed Boeing's software fix. Aviation expert and former Marine pilot Steve Ganyard says pilot and public confidence are key.
The first step is to convince the pilots that fly this airplane that it's safe.
And every problem will be scrutinized, such as the 737 MAX being moved to storage yesterday when it had an engine problem near Orlando. Southwest says the emergency was not related to the cause of the MAX jet grounding. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. And Boeing shares are down 0.2% in early trading. Futures are higher. S&P futures up 6 points. Dow futures up 38 and NASDAQ futures up 23. The 10-year treasury is up 10.30 seconds, yield 2.38%. And NYMEX crude oil down 0.1%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr is planning to release his report on Robert Mueller's probe into President Trump in a matter of weeks, not months. According to a Justice Department official, Barr offered his timeline in a conversation with Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham. Democrats have been demanding the release of the special counsel's full report. Six House chairmen wrote Barr a letter giving him an April 2nd date to submit to the full report to Congress. Britain's members of parliament vote today on alternatives to Prime Minister Theresa May's defeated Brexit deal. Today in the Commons, MPs are voting on rival Brexit options, including a second referendum. Other options include a customs union and revoking Article 50, the clause in the European Union Treaty the UK invoked to begin the process of leaving the EU. Chicago police are adamant actor Jussie Smollett staged a hate crime against himself. Still, all charges against Smollett were dropped yesterday. An angry Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel said Smollett used existing laws to try to help his career.
And he did this all in the name of self-promotion. And he used the laws of the hate crime legislation that all of us collectively over years have put on the books to stand up to be the values that embody what we believe in.
Smollett says he's been truthful since day one. New York's Rockland County has declared a state of emergency with 153 confirmed cases of measles in the last 6 months. County Executive Ed Day says they are taking the unprecedented step of banning unvaccinated children from all public places.
There will not be law enforcement or deputy sheriffs asking for your vaccination records. That is ridiculous. To repeat, that is not nor will it ever be the focus of this effort. However, if you are found to be in violation of this declaration, your case will be referred to the district attorney's office.
The disease was officially eliminated in the U.S. in 2000. Vice President Pence told a meeting of the National Space Council in Huntsville, Alabama, the administration has a goal of again putting a person on the moon within 5 years.
For more than 7 years without a viable human space launch program of our own, Russia has been charging the United States more than $80 million a seat every time an American astronaut travels to the International Space Station.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Jacob DeGrom knew now was the time to sign a long-term deal with the Mets. Coming off a brilliant Cy Young winning 1.70 ERA season, he has cashed in. He'll make $27.5 million a year for the next 5 years, which is what the top pitchers make these days. The deal struck just before the deadline. DeGrom had said he'll be on the mound tomorrow in Washington for the season opener opposite Max Scherzer, a three-time Cy Young winner who DeGrom beat out for the award last year. The stadium, it'll be Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees facing the Orioles' Andrew Cashner. Looks like the Islanders will face Pittsburgh in the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. At stake now, who will have home ice advantage? The two teams tied with five games to go. The Isles last night got shut out in Columbus 4-0. Wichita State and TCU won in the NIT and are headed to the Garden for next week's semifinals. Call it the Saints rule, because clearly, had there not been the controversial finish in New Orleans in the NFC Championship game, the NFL would not have made the announcement it made last night at the owners' meetings. Replay will now be used for pass interference penalties. The commissioner is Roger Goodell.
You know, it wasn't able to correct something that we wanted to have corrected in the past. I think that, to me, it was the driving force ultimately at the end of the day. I think our clubs, including all our coaches, owners, and everyone else, realize that our job is to get these right, and we should use every available means to get them right.
The vote was 31-1, only the Bengals against it. Covers offensive and defensive interference, covers both calls made and, like what happened in New Orleans, calls that weren't made, but really should have. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It is the equality issue, including how Dow Chemical became a bastion of equality in America's heartland. Jeff Green wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
To me, it's just incredible that this company is as woke, at least on LGBT stuff, as it is. I never would have guessed. It's a conservative town. They haven't voted for a Democratic presidential candidate since 1964, and that's the only time that we could find in a century.
You read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Wall Street's average bonus fell 17% in 2018 to $153,700. It was the first decline in 3 years, according to estimates by the New York State Comptroller. Bonuses fell even though pre-tax profits from broker-dealer operations of New York Stock Exchange member firms rose 11%. New Jersey has warned five companies they could be on the hook for millions of dollars for damage to natural resources from contamination by fluorinated chemicals. Solvay, DuPont Specialty Products, Dow DuPont, Chemours, and 3M have been told to provide a detailed accounting of their use and discharge of the chemicals, which have been available for more than 60 years. Single-family home sales fell sharply in Connecticut in February. The Warren Group says 1,606 homes were sold in the state last month, a 6.3% decline from February 2018. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WoWo in Fort Wayne. Subaru says its 87-month streak of sales gains is threatened by tariffs.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, Boeing embarks on a campaign to restore confidence in the 737 MAX.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting AT&T commissioned a report on climate change and is now preparing for more Florida storms with 90-mile-an-hour winds.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on Peloton's decision to pull video fitness classes featuring songs named in a copyright lawsuit.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're watching shares of KB Home after it topped on earnings and announced new communities on the drawing board.
I'm Ed Curry on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting the Federal Trade Commission has asked AT&T, Comcast, Google, T-Mobile, and Verizon, along with other internet providers, about how they collect user information.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. The morning in which S&P futures are ahead by 5.5 points, Dow futures up 33, NASDAQ futures up 20 points. Price of the 10-year up 12/32 now, the yield down to 2.37%, 2-year treasuries at 2.20%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Treasuries are climbing with European government bonds as investors weigh a worrying economic outlook against a decisive turn toward accommodation by major central banks. Futures this morning are moving higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2 points right now. Dow futures up 4. NASDAQ futures up about 13. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 15/32, yield 2.37%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.19%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 23 cents to $59.72 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2%, up $2.50 to $13.2390 an ounce. The euro, $1.1283, the yen, 110.48. We get a look at the housing sector this morning when homebuilder Lennar reports earnings. And here with a preview is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are looking for adjusted earnings per share of 75 cents on revenue of $4.11 billion. Drew Redding is a home building analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence.
What we'll be listening to with Lennar is margins. They're a volume builder. They've emphasized that they're going to continue to drive sales pace regardless of the market environment.
And J.P. Morgan says home builder stocks may be poised to keep rallying with investor optimism about lower interest rates likely priming them to overlook any possible disappointments in Lennar earnings. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a Justice Department official says it will take Attorney General William Barr weeks, not months, to finish reviewing Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report and make a version available to the public. The official also said there were no plans for the department to give the report to the White House. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos appeared before the House Appropriations Subcommittee, where she defended more than $7 billion in proposed cuts to education programs. The cuts include eliminating $18 million in federal funding for the Special Olympics. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. The Capitals were winners. In the NBA, the Celtics won. The Wizards lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. From our London Bureau, Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joins us. And Jen, as the UK Parliament heads toward indicative votes on Brexit, Danny Haddam is looking into whether there could be a second Brexit vote entirely by the British people. I mean, is that still on the table?
Well, it is an option that MPs are going to be asked to consider. But here's what Danny Hatem's really worried about, is the idea that if there is a second referendum, that people's vote, as it gets known around here, gets met with a people's boycott. Because regardless of the referendum's final tally, an organized boycott's going to really mean that all of Britain loses. So what does he mean by this? It's not a hypothetical idea that there could be a boycott. One of the chief architects of Brexit is a fellow called Daniel Hannan, and he recently told Al Jazeera that a second referendum would be utterly illegitimate and he would not vote in it. So Hatem says it's really hard to avoid the conclusion that a boycott would instantly devalue a second vote and really widen divisions in an already polarized society.
But does Hatem see benefits to a second ballot even despite that possibility of a boycott?
You know, this is a really good question to ask, because if you're scared off by the idea of a boycott, so what are you giving up by foregoing a second referendum? But Hatem has a little bit to say about this. The first is the idea that a new referendum will somehow grant democratic legitimacy to whatever outcome is decided. But he says legitimacy is in the eye of the beholder, and he paraphrases George Orwell to say that Britain really only has a legitimate government because large numbers of people believe it to have a legitimate government. I mean, the consequences of a boycott would suggest that voters had lost faith in the valid authority of the government. And step back and think for a minute what kinds of countries generally are saddled with electoral boycotts. We're thinking here about Russian-backed eastern Ukraine. This is not a routine campaign tactic and a functioning democracy. Furthermore, another reason per offered for a second vote is that Parliament is gridlocked on Brexit and only the electorate can sort out the chaos. But it's hard to see what politicians could learn from a ballot that was purposely sabotaged by a boycott.
Yeah, you mentioned the chaos in the Parliament. I mean, is it even feasible that a boycott could be arranged among the entire British electorate?
You know, you underestimate the levers at your peril. I mean, there's no reason to think that they would fail to craft an equally compelling call to boycott the polls, you know, should the occasion arise. And you've got to bear in mind, a boycott doesn't need to be total to achieve its aims. So Hatem says he doesn't, you know, speaking for himself, Hatem doesn't see any upside to any flavor of Brexit. The original referendum was, he thinks, a colossal error in judgment. But another vote seeking to reverse it would not be some wellspring of hope for a divided nation. It's really just probably going to introduce a new kind of poison into Britain's democratic culture.
All right. Another major trend we're watching, of course, the dovish pivot among central banks really around the world now. And Kamal Sreekumar is looking at the implications of the Fed's pivot. What's he found?
Well, for emerging markets, it looks pretty good for equities, but for bonds, it's a bit more complicated because while you've got lower rates for borrowers in hard currencies, reducing debt service expenses and alleviating pressure on balance of payments, the economic slowdown that tends to come along with lower rates and yields would ultimately be a negative. You know, there's another risk with if you've got an emerging market nation feasting on cheaper credit in the short term, they could be in for a rude shock as importing nations cut purchases to deal with their own economic weakness.
So how does Sreekumar say investors should manage this?
They've got to look at dividing their emerging market investments into a couple of components. And so one needs to be a high-risk portion. That would consist of countries such as Turkey that are dependent principally on speculative capital inflows. If you think about Turkey, Sreekumar says the prospects of it attracting more capital during the coming months are actually quite good as foreign investors reach for higher yields. But looking beyond the near term, its external accounts really suffer from a serious problem. You've got imports of goods and services significantly exceeding exports. And there's a structural weakness that means that the lira is headed for some more volatility as capital flows change direction.
Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joining us from London. Thank you, as always. You can read more of this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion on the Bloomberg terminal. Type OPIN Go on the search bar. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The U.S. Supreme Court sided with Sudan in overturning a civil judgment of more than $300 million for victims of the USS Cole bombing. The High Court found the victims and families of those killed in the Al-Qaeda attack did not properly serve notice of their lawsuit. The New York Court of Appeals has ruled home health care aides who work 24-hour shifts are not entitled under state law to payment for the time they spend sleeping and eating at a patient's house. An interactive exercise company, Peloton Interactive, will pull video fitness classes featuring songs that were named
claimed in a $150 million copyright lawsuit.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And thank you, Steve. In other legal news we're watching this morning, conservative justices are questioning whether judges should be able to toss out politically gerrymandered voting districts as the Supreme Court weighs the case of a North Carolina congressional map drawn by Republicans. For more on this story, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr.
Greg, this was what I would call a brazen gerrymander in North Carolina. The redistricting committee included partisan advantage as one of the criteria for the map. What was the focus of the justices' questions?
Well, part of it was what you just talked about, the fact that this was an extreme gerrymander, both in terms of the intent explicit by Republicans that they were trying to get as many GOP seats as they could, and the effect of it. It basically worked. The Republicans in the first election got 10 out of the 13 seats. In the second election, they got at least 9. There's one district that's being revoted, and that's even though in both cases, the vote overall was pretty much 50-50. So that was a big, that was one focus of the case. And then the second focus was, how are we going to handle this as courts? If we say that this map is too partisan, how are we going to draw a line that will let us judge all these other maps we may be called upon to rule on?
So the court has been willing to restrict gerrymandering based on race. Why not so for those based on politics?
The court has, in the past, explicitly said taking partisanship into account is okay, at least to some degree. They said that's a legitimate consideration. You also have to look at other things like keeping counties together and, not having lines that look too ridiculous. With race, on the other hand, there is this notion that that is something we really don't want to do unless we have a strong reason for it. We don't like classifying people according to their race, even when we're drawing congressional districts.
And that's Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr speaking with June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures this morning now little changed. S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures down 40. NASDAQ futures are little change, as I said, up less than a point. 10-year Treasury up 16 32nds. The yield 2.36%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5%. It's at $59.63 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.